The Learn Me Something Podcast with your hosts, Aaron Stewart and Rich Plum.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, everybody.
My name is Rich. I'm here, as always, with my super good friend, Aaron. Alex Knigget is sitting over there. That's a Monty Python reference for you people out there. I don't know what you call Monty Python people.
Monty's Pythons.
That. Maybe. So that means this Probably is Pythons. Learn Me Something.
Hey.
Another episode coming at you.
Oh, geez. Are we here to learn something again?
Well, you're here to teach us something, buddy.
Oh, damn it all.
This is yours.
You a big responsibility.
You got the show
Who the hell gave me this responsibility?
Alex.
Oh, okay. Thanks, Alex.
Alex Knigget.
So anybody that is going, why did I have to sign up for this? Well, blame it all on Alex.
And Alex made us persuasive. I want to sit home and play video games. He's like, no, come out, play.
As we are here on Learn Me Something, I guess we'll get down to the learning things, maybe, I suppose.
Let's do it, buddy.
So we're going to learn something about money today.
Oh, my favorite topic.
I figured we've done all sorts of invisible, you know, insubstantial things, so I figured money kind of does tie into that, no matter what everybody thinks about this whole paper thing we carry around.
Money is the root of all evil.
Well, and that's kind of one of the things that I wanted to get into, is I don't know if money is necessarily the root of evil. It's how we... what we do with the money and how we deal with it and kind of where it's coming from and that kind of thing. So, you know, I mean, there's a lot of ways where that might be true.
So the podcast is on money?
Money and debt.
Money and debt. Oh.
Yeah. And
I know a thing or two about debt.
And that's, yeah, well, it doesn't everybody. And that's kind of the where, you know, that's one of the things I wanted to go into was just the amount of debt that we are all currently living under. You know, based on Pew Research, the United States has more governmental debt than any other country analyzed. They did a study of 43 countries. And they have nearly $20 trillion in gross debt in 2016.
That's the government does?
That is the United States.
So the government, said the governmental?
I believe that covers all debt in general in the United States. So that's like, you know, the debt owed to banks, debt owed to other countries, debt owed to blah, 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 right? Like everything that the United States owes.
Yeah, okay, as a country.
Amounts to approximately $20
trillion. But that doesn't take into consideration consumer debt, does it?
I believe that does.
Is it? Yeah. Because I heard consumer debt, I mean, if you're factoring them all in together, I'm not sure, but I thought.
And that's where I'm sure there's a whole bunch of different metrics, but the main point is that there's a whole shitload of debt out there.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the U.S. keeps voting to increase their debt ceiling.
As do most other countries. Now, that was another one, is that Japan actually has the as a share of its GDP, Japan's gross debt far exceeds that of all other nations analyzed. So their gross public debt was more than twice its GDP, like its gross domestic product, far higher than that of most other countries.
Yeah, and they got to treat that like the credit card, right? I mean, just because you're a country and you can print the money is still a debt that's owed and somebody's got to pay it.
Well, and that's, you know, you might point to a lot of that comes from their aging population, right? And also the fact that because they're an island nation and they haven't had a whole lot of influx of people, again, with the aging population, they're now facing a problem of not being able to produce as much as they used to. And so...
like the baby boomers going...
They've now had to borrow in order to keep their island, you know, floating, so to speak.
Quite literally.
Yes, exactly.
Keeping that bitch up.
Yeah. So, and continuing on with that, Norway's GDP actually far outweighs its net debt. So their
gross domestic debt.
So Norway's gross domestic product actually is 33% of its gross domestic product in 2016. Its net debt was minus 284.5% of its GDP.
Okay, so they're doing it right.
Well, that apparently they're doing something right.
But yes. I wonder how that correlates, because a government's job is not to make money. The government's job should be to break even.
And that's something that we're going to get into as a potential outright myth.
Oh, okay.
The idea that governments need to run a deficit is absolute horse shit.
Well, that's a opinion.
That's exactly. And that's, then again, this is my opinion that it's, you know, that it really is an outdated and based on the idea that running that mentality makes someone money.
Running a debt makes, there are companies, running a debt as a country?
As a country, as anything, right? You have to think about it. Like, if you think about debt, that debt has to be paid to someone. So that money is to someone, right? And so not only that, but all of the interest payments and all that, you know, all the accrued interest, all of the extra stuff that goes along with it, any penalties, any, you know, fees they've now put on to all that extra stuff is now being paid to that entity, mm-hmm. correct? Whether it's a country, whether it's a bank, whether it's, right, your cousin down the street that loaned you $20, right? There's always some sort of interest accrued.
Yeah. Now,
as part of our money system.
Right. Now, you're taking me back to learning economics in high school.
Yeah. That was kind of where I had to go back to. I was like, da-dum.
And so when the government accrues debt, it's debt it owes to its citizens.
Not necessarily. It could be debt that it owes to another country for products sure. that it's bought or something, right? There's all sorts of different ways that, I mean, just think about the different ways of spending money.
Yeah.
Right? And essentially, if you're spending money that you don't have, then you're accruing debt. And that's the problem that we're having is that for one reason or another, the amount of money coming into these countries is not what they're paying out.
Okay, I mean, I know that's the biggest one that we hear about is the U.S., obviously, because every so often, about every 6 months or so, they have to have a big debate on whether or not they're going to increase the debt ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
when again,
that's to
they
keep
have
the government
the,
running.
By far the highest amount of debt.
Right, because they spent, I mean, they got a huge loan off of
well,
China.
Although that's another question mark, because apparently the Chinese, with their kind of, they don't necessarily follow the same world rules as everyone, so they don't necessarily tell the rest of the world exactly what their gross domestic rate.
Yeah.
So there's some estimates that they may have more of a debt than the U.S. even.
Right.
Because after purchasing all these products in order to produce things, they've now had a major slowdown on the amount of things they need to produce, and so now they've got all this extra stock sticking around that they can't do anything with, and so there's some thought that they might actually have this major debt of actual, like, materials sitting right. in their country.
Yeah, I know.
Adds to their debt.
I know they have a huge issue with currency manipulation. I don't know the inner workings of how that.
And again, like
all
that's
works.
Where the non-transparency of their whole kind of system mm-hmm. kind of works again. You know, it's tough to factor in exactly where that all mm-hmm. sits. But either way, we know for a fact the United States has, like, if not the highest.
Yeah, I know the. Now, I was just listening to another podcast that talked about this a bit, and I know the consumer debt is dropping, which is a good thing. That's a good sign of job creation and wealth and people paying down their debt and not accruing more debt. I think consumer debt in Canada is increasing, but I know that the government debt in both are increasing. I know Justin Trudeau up here in Canada put out a platform 5 years ago where they were going to go into a deficit situation rather than the surplus that the Conservatives had.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting. I can't recall how government debt works, though.
And again, that comes down, there's a lot of different things that it ties to, right? Like mm-hmm. it's debt to other countries, it's debt for, you know, a lot of different things, like even just to, you know, the products and services to run a country,
mm-hmm.
right? There's a certain requirement that just, you know, baseline to keep everything up and running,
mm-hmm.
you require a certain amount of money. Right. And that's supposed to be paid through the taxes and blah, blah, blah. Right. And that's where, you know, the whole idea of this, the corporate tax and such, you know, where we've had this big debate about whether the corporations are paying their fair share and whether they're, you know, transparent enough with their, you know, inner workings of the company to be able to actually fairly tax what they're doing on a global scale.
Right. I know that, I mean, they have a huge ton of loopholes and tons of...
And that's kind of where we have this issue, right? Like, again, they're taking money out of a country, but then that money is, you know, we pay that to them under the assumption that they're going to use it within our country, kind of, right? I mean, you know, you'd think that that would be part of, or that they would, that at least when you're paying something towards a company, that it would have some sort of vested interest in your country. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Versus paying it into a corporation that has no interest in anything other than taking that money from you and your country and whatever it takes to get it.
Well, I think a corporation's job is to be as profitable as possible within the rules that they're allowed to operate in.
Well,
and every business person is supposed to.
That's exactly where it becomes a gray area, right? What are those rules? Who makes
I
up
think
those
the rules?
Rules
are pretty set forward.
No, that's that. Oh, so but that's where, like, corporations all the time are being caught out in fraudulent privacy.
Oh, sure, right? But that's what makes it fraudulent.
That's where exactly. But who makes those rules? Is it the corporation making those rules? That's the problem.
I don't think so.
I think you need to do more research, my friend.
The corporations have influence on the rules, but the rules
are... But
that's
exactly the problem. Why do they have research? Or why do they have influence?
Yeah, because of lobbying.
And that's exactly where we have a problem, right? Like, why are they allowed to have more of a voice than any other person working out there in any small business or in any other business or in any other? Why do they, because they have more money that, again, they've taken from us, and if they're not transparent with their processes and they're not paying their fair share of taxes to the company, they're through the country that they're operating in, why should we allow them to then take more money from us, right?
Yeah, it's a social economic issue, and I agree with you 100%. I mean, there's corporations like Walmart, for example. It's just a horrible corporation. They don't pay their workers enough. The workers are working at a rate where they have to get government subsidies, so the taxpayers are paying for those government subsidies, plus they're getting massive kickbacks from the government because they're dumping so much money into the government. Mm-hmm. And it's like so big that, I don't know, it's like too big to fail, right? I guarantee if Walmart went bankrupt, the government would bail them out.
See, and that's another absolute myth, that, you know, this idea of the banks were too big to fail.
Oh, I
with
agree.
This whole financial crisis and the whole,
let them crash.
Buying out the banks. And that was every study they did. I believe there was 127 different studies that pointed to the fact that bailing out the banks would be a bad idea. Mm-hmm. And they went ahead and did it anyway. Mm-hmm. And lo and behold, now we're, 7 years past the fact? Ten years. And lo and behold, everything that they pointed to has now been, you know, like, we're now at a point where the global debt is now 120, like almost $200 trillion.
Yeah, the global debt, yeah. Is that in relation to, I mean, is it going up or is it going down?
Always up. And that's again, like, we're going to get into this whole idea of why this debt is becoming such an issue, and why there's such a problem of it, and why it's so pervasive. And really, it really comes down to the fact that the whole idea of money comes with debt. So in 2010, there was 53.5 billion pounds circulating the UK economy in notes and coins.
Okay.
53.5 billion pounds. The privately created money supply, which is the sum total of all the bank-created demand deposits, we'll get into this in a bit, was $2.15 trillion.
Okay.
Okay? So 97.4% of all the monies created in the UK in 2010 was created by private banks by issuing money literally out of thin air.
Okay, so you lost me in how that process works. So
In 2010, the UK printed 53.5 billion worth of notes and coins.
Okay.
Okay, which is technically supposed to be the amount of money they have, hey?
Okay.
However, $2.15 trillion was created by the banks issuing demands for money. That's basically how they create money out of. So every time you go in, exactly. Now in this, we're going to get into the description of why here. Okay. So every time you go and take out a mortgage, okay, say it's $100,000. The thing is that the bank literally takes that money and creates what's called this demand for funds, and they extract that money from nowhere. They literally make that money, but then the problem...
Because it's just a computer transaction. It's just...
But you'd think, like, the whole idea is the main thought of it is, in most people's minds, is that money, like, the banks are taking money that other people have given them, right? And then using that money to loan out to other people.
Right, yeah.
And that's not the truth whatsoever. Mm. The actual truth is that they're creating money out of thin air, creating... What the problem is, they're doing $100,000 for this mortgage, but then they're not creating the extra $10,000 of interest that they also charge onto it.
Okay.
So now they're putting $100,000 worth of debt into there, but not only $100,000, but $110,000, but they're only creating $100,000 worth of actual, like, quote unquote, money. Mm-hmm. And so there's always this deficit created with every loan.
Right.
Of money that actually has to be paid back out of actual money, but they're using virtual money to start that loan in the first place. So now you have that inherent debt built into every loan that has to come out of someone's actual pocket versus money the banks are creating out of nothing. And this is where we have this disparity of money that seems to be floating around, which doesn't have any actual connection to the company, like the country that it came from, or any, you know, and now it's just this bank creating shit out of nowhere.
But okay, so when they're doing that, I mean, is that, I'm sorry, I'm really not up to on my economical.
Again, the assumption is that they're using money that they're being given to loan out, right? But because they have all of these methods of, you know, making that money move around, they can do really whatever the fuck they want with it. And so essentially what they've been doing is creating money and fueling this whole debt-based society that we now live under, right? So now because now everybody that now takes out any loan now has to make those extra payments. And every year, everything that you have to buy costs more. Why is that? Because that company that you're buying from now has to pay more. And so now
and the government has to print more money.
Exactly. And they have to print more money, but now they're not printing enough money because they're actually making more money than they're printing. And so at some point, all comes crashing down.
So we're talking about a collapse, a potential collapse is going to happen from debt.
The problem is that it's, you know, they live under this assumption that they can run under unlimited growth, and it's just not possible. That's the problem where we have this capitalism issue with the United States. They assume that they can just keep on growing. They can just keep on running with this unlimited capitalism and fuck the regulations and fuck you people that are telling us not to pump chemicals into the ground because there's oil down there and we need to get the oil. You know, and it's become this problem of, you know, now it's just money, 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 because that's the only thing we know now. And it's actually, you know, when you get down to the actual facts, the whole idea of a money-based society was in order to counter a barter-based society, when you get right down to it, which is another apparent absolute untruth.
Okay. I didn't know that.
In that there were a lot of other, like the idea behind money was that the only way that we could figure out how, you know, now that we live in this complicated society, the only way that we can figure out how to, you know, group our resources was to have this money thing that we could use to actually set a dollar amount. Right. And the problem there is that once you start assigning dollar values to some things, well, it's pretty easy to assign a dollar value to a person from there, isn't it? Then they just become a thing. And well, guess what? Then all the animals are just things, all the...
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
Then everything's just a thing that you can assign a value to. Right?
And they do. Sure.
And that's exactly... Like, that's where it became this pervasive issue of now we have this problem of money, right? Like, there used to be the Iroquois Indians in North America apparently had what they called the longhouse, where all the people in the community would come and bring their goods, and they would all be part of a communal thing, and everybody would get what they needed to survive, right? And it was, you know, I mean, there were probably a lot of benefits to this. I'm sure there were a lot of deficit, you know, problems with it as well. But the idea being that, you know, if somebody was making, you know, 5,000, you know, baskets, eventually they would say, hey, we don't need any more baskets, find something else to do. Right.
Right. Yeah.
Or if somebody needed help making something, or like if they needed more cattle, say, for, you know, to make sure that they had enough meat to survive they would send people to go and do that who were, you know, not doing something else, right? And so it was a part of this communal effort to make sure that everyone had enough to survive, and the people that were taking too much of it, right, by default, right, would settle into the pattern of, you know, what do you need?
I hear what you're saying there, and I'm thinking about the banking system and the money, and I think it makes everything a lot easier. For sure, for
it
us
makes
to do
some things.
Things
easier.
I mean, it makes everything easier.
But again,
I mean,
it's the idea. It's the problem of that it comes with an inherent debt.
Okay.
Right? And literally every dollar in the world right now has an inherent debt. That's the thing with this $61 trillion like global debt doesn't count for the whole, right? And so that's where now it's this actual, like, it's the difference between the amount of money that they have and the amount of money, like virtual money, is now like $140 trillion or something, right? And so, and only getting worse,
right?
Right? Because now you're not, like, there's countries like Brazil. They spend more on their debt interest payments as a share of revenue than any other country. In 2015, which was the most recent data, 42.1% of its revenue was paid on interest payments. So the money that the country was actually making as technically profit for the country was being pumped into interest payments of debt that the country owes.
But that's just bad government. That's just bad management. I mean, you look at some countries, I think Canada does pretty well in managing it. I know British Columbia does.
Why were they mismanaged, right? Was it a problem of... And that's the problem of money.
I think that's the problem of people, to be honest with you.
But it's, again, like it's like you said, money is the root of all evil, not people. People aren't the root of all evil. People aren't the root of all evil. What are you talking about? It's got to be money.
People are the root of all evil. I mean,
and that's kind of where it, you know, we offload all of this problem on money. But there was a good quote in here that money doesn't mind if we say it's evil. It goes from strength to strength. It's a fiction, an addiction, and a tacit conspiracy.
It is, but I think that's human nature, because people have this ego that needs to be stroked and inflated, and some people get obsessed with money, and it's not right. It's an illness.
Well, see, and I think that's part of our like brain structure, where, you know, we have an inherent kind of need to apply a value to something, whether it be a name or whether it be, right, like an emotion or a feeling or something. We, you know, we look at a flower and we want to make that our flower. That's my flower. I'm the only person that can feel that flower in this moment, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you want to go through your life feeling that you're special. And so you grasp all these little moments of being able to make something out of nothing, right?
Yeah, but I hear you talking, and I'm thinking, like, that's just, I guarantee during the barter system, people will fuck the system too. I guarantee you people did something.
But that's where, I mean, you have to have a council that determines, you know, and I mean, like you said, it's tough to get any system to work properly, but to say that our system is working properly is fallacious as well.
I agree, right? But I think that's
it's not necessarily of having like the barter system, but having some offshoot of it where as a country we recognize, or say as the world, hey, we recognize that all of us have to start working together. Mm-hmm. And that we have to start, you know, maybe taking all of this debt shit and starting to do away with it and start looking at what actually really matters, right? Like, you know, is it more important that we as a whole start to make sure that we don't have the conditions necessary for, war and death and poverty and, you know, people dying from starvation and, you know, this idea that we have to have more and more and more and you know, this pervasive money debt culture that basically is, you know, sucking the life out of all of us, frankly, right? You know, I made a statement that on our last recording about wages were basically essentially a modern day slavery, right? And there was some pushback on that one, but it's really kind of entirely true. Like, one of the definitions of slavery is undue toil or labor.
Well, I mean, the definition of slavery is you don't get paid for it.
Again, one of the definitions of slavery is undue toil or labor, right? Where yes, you're going to work, but if what you're doing for work is on, like, if you feel that you're having to work too hard for the amount of money that you're getting paid, well, technically, you're a slave. And if you quit that job, well, what do you, like, you don't get paid from that guy anymore. You don't have any vested, right? Like, he doesn't have any vested interest in making sure that you're taken care of. He doesn't have any.
Yeah, but that person's still free to do whatever they want. They can start their own company.
But
you do it on their own. They can do lots of things.
Yes, but exactly. You know, but by
that's the difference
working,
between a slave person.
By working for someone else, you're technically setting yourself, it's technically a version of modern day slavery.
Well, I think there's a stretch, but I'll give it to you. Obviously, you don't think it's a stretch. You said
think
it.
You think about how many people go to work every day hating their job. And you want to tell me that they don't feel like a slave. You want to look at the
people that
I think
there's a difference between feeling like a slave and being a slave.
But why is that any different?
Thinking like
And why would you think that the idea of someone feeling like a slave sometimes doesn't make them an actual slave?
Okay, well, I think one of those people that feels like a slave for a day.
What if they're always a slave, but it's only sometimes they're actually aware of it?
Well, that's some deep shit, man. But I think you take that person who thinks they're a slave and make them an actual slave, and they want to go back to thinking they're a slave because you have.
But again, I'm talking
power.
Modern day slavery where we can't actually call it slavery.
Okay,
but,
if you want to redefine it, okay.
But technically, you're a slave to your boss. If your boss tells you to do something, you can't say no.
Yes, you can. Absolutely, you can.
And he has the right to fire you and find someone who will do it.
Yeah.
And that technically...
You know how many times I say no to my boss?
Yeah, but
a
technically...
Lot.
But most people don't have that same kind of power. You're technically in a different position. You want to tell me that 99% of the population isn't any kind of position to tell their boss to fuck off?
Well, I never tell my boss to fuck off. But I'll certainly say that they're wrong.
But technically, that makes you kind of a slave to him, doesn't it? If you can't tell him to fuck off, why not?
I don't tell anyone to fuck off.
Because he's your boss and you'd lose your job?
Because, I would never tell anyone to fuck off unless they cut me off in a row. That's the only person I would tell to fuck off.
If he told you to do something that you felt was amoral.
Mm, I wouldn't tell him to fuck off. I would never tell someone to fuck off.
Okay.
I would say, I would say.
Okay, you would not necessarily use those words, but would you quit your job or would you continue?
I would try to change his mind. I would say that I don't believe that our values align and let's have a conversation about that. And if they said that, no, we're taking this position and that position is against what my values are, then absolutely I quit. And I have quit.
And you feel that everyone out there is in the same kind of position where they would totally make the same decision and would totally quit besides the fact that, you know, they have mortgages to pay, that they have a feeling of despair, that sure. They can't just change their job. Like, how many other people do you feel are really in a position where they feel like they could just quit their job if their boss was being a dick and move on?
You're asking me that?
I'm asking you,
do you know how many people do that to me? Because
I find it odd that you're defending that position.
Do you know how many people do that to me?
Oh, I know. That's exactly.
Every single day?
Again, knowing what you do, this was specifically why I was phrasing this question to you. And
I think everyone can do it.
And
I think,
wondering why you weren't seeing the connection I'm making to
a majority of people do it.
Yes,
a majority
exactly.
of people yes, up and quit exactly. their job because their boss looked at them the wrong way or the office was too cold. Or they don't like this person's bringing this to lunch, or the shifts are half an hour too late for me or too early for me.
But they're still daily having to go happens. Back to work.
Sure.
Right? They still
they don't have to go back
find,
to that job. They go
they
find
still
another
have
job.
To go find someone. And despite the fact that we've set up a society that doesn't feel like they're entitled, you know, able enough to be able to put up with even the smallest amount of bullshit, that's an entirely different.
Right. I mean.
Right. But the fact is that they then tomorrow need to go find another job.
Of course.
They cannot go without a job because they need that money to pay for things that, right?
Okay, yeah.
Right.
And versus, I don't think that there's anything wrong with that. I don't think that because you think the office is too cold or someone looks at you the wrong way, so they're not going to leave my job.
Is that as opposed to if that person were, say, an artist trapped and not able to find expression for...
Okay, that's different.
But it's a matter of, like, we live in this society where we don't take care of the people that have a little bit of hardship going on and are able to, you know, maybe find a new direction for sometimes, right? Where we now live in, like, if you have $100,000 worth of mortgage to pay, you're less inclined to quit your job and try to find something that actually makes you happy.
But those people that have $100,000 of mortgage to pay, they're going to go into that office and go, you know what? The office is a bit chilly, but I'm fine. And they find things in the day and they're successful at the job and the companies like them and they're more appreciated because they are impacting the company.
Are they?
Absolutely,
are
man.
They?
Absolutely.
Are they?
Dude, I live in that world every day for 17 years.
Are they?
Absolutely.
I'd be interested to do a poll on how many people actually feel appreciated at work.
Oh, that's completely different. Completely different. If you do a poll of everyone...
And whether you feel like you might
nobody,
be a slave to your boss
nobody
or
thinks,
whether...
No, no one's going to think that. As a cynical person, going to think that.
No one?
Well, many people will think that, but not a person who is moving up in the company or the company values.
And again, how often do you think that's happening?
Okay, because this is my world.
In companies that are downsizing, okay. in a recession society where companies aren't making as much money, you're thinking they're now hiring people and raising them up as opposed to firing them.
Okay, that depends entirely on the company. I've been in companies.
But as a general rule.
And as a general rule, if the company's losing money, they have to stop the bleeding. And they're going to stop the bleeding any way that they can. They're going to
exactly.
do it through
because it's
costs.
All about the company.
It is all about the company. Because if that company sinks, everybody loses their job. If that company sinks, everybody loses their job. If the three of us got a company going if we brought in 10 people and we would have to accrue debt in order to get to that level.
As opposed to maybe that company needs to die.
Okay,
maybe that company is being mismanaged. Maybe
let's say that we hire 10 people, okay, and we're paying them a good salary, then all of a sudden something happens. Oh. iTunes changes their policies or Google Play changes their policies where now we don't lose that revenue stream and we don't have the money coming in that we once thought we had coming in. And we're losing money, and if we go broke, everybody loses their job. But if we let go of two people, everybody keeps their job.
But my problem is that if we didn't live under this whole debt-based society, you wouldn't even have to have that conversation.
We would have a different conversation.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be that one. It would be a different conversation.
Exactly.
And stuff like that would still happen.
Stuff like what?
Where you would have to make tough decisions on who gets to eat and who doesn't. In a perfect utopian society that we have in our heads, sure. But actually getting to that utopian society isn't, oh, hey, let's just all do it. It's
who told you that? Who told you that there's no way to do it?
My 42 years. No, I didn't say there's no way to do it.
Well, that's
but it's not just
pretty...
a, hey, let's just do it. There's much more involved in that. It's not as simplistic of a, hey, everyone, let's just do it.
Really? Mm-hmm. That's crazy talk. You're telling me we can't just turn this on overnight? Wow, Rich.
No, I don't think so.
That's amazing. I never would
don't
have guessed.
Don't think we can do
you,
that.
You'd take my whole thing and try to distill it down to...
I'm not trying to distill it down, but I'm just saying that... What the hell were we talking about? We were talking about...
It was a debt-based society I was trying to talk about and how that if we didn't live under all this debt, where all these companies needed to pay all this interest and all this inflation on top of everything that they're already trying to pay to their you know, customers or to their employees or anything,
mm-hmm.
that we wouldn't have to worry about all those people not showing up, that they would have enough, and that, you know, this idea that there isn't enough for everyone in the world is
oh, for sure.
Absolute
That's crap.
Lunacy. When, mm-hmm. when we throw away more food than we mm-hmm. eat...
I agree.
In most cases, like mm-hmm. in most households in you know, civilized society, it
now,
just seems
different.
Absolute lunacy that we're still having a debate of whether there's enough for everyone.
Now, that's when I go back to a government. A government should not run on a profit. A government is there. I don't think it should run on a deficit per se, but I'm more comfortable with it running on a deficit.
Why has it got to be a profit? Why they got to make money?
That's what I agree. I don't think the government should be making money.
Why do we have to live under this whole idea of money in the first place? Again, like I'm kind
of
still...
That's a pretty...
You know?
that's a boom out there thought.
That's exactly like that. I like these boom out there thoughts. That's what we're all about here. We're all about having these conversations. Like you need to see something. Have you ever watched the Zeitgeist Project mm-hmm. at all? You've mm-hmm. seen that one? Mm-hmm. And like that kind of thing where, I mean, there are alternatives to it.
Sure.
And I don't understand why, you know, like this is where it's about having this conversation of there are alternatives to, mm-hmm. to this, you know, having to go and, you know, do things that aren't, you know, in your best interest to do, you know, in terms of just having to tie yourself to a job that you may not necessarily like in order to do something that you don't necessarily feel is right,
mm-hmm.
right? Just in order to pay a mortgage that a bank created out of thin air in order to pay off their profit for the year and, you know, created not only an issue for you in the interest that comes from there, but also an interest, a problem of the problem of interest inherently ruining society from within.
Mm-hmm. you know, I know what you're saying, and I think you're right in a lot. Fuck, I just lost my train of thought.
You know, like this was just a setup for like, hey guys, there's alternatives out there. I recognize that this is something that we're going to have to get into on a later date as a further topic of discussion.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing that you have to realize is you got to get everyone's agreement on that. And everyone's going to have a different opinion. If you have 10 people in a room and everyone has the same opinion, there's one person thinking. Okay.
But, you know, it's the idea that all of these agreements change. And so they're all under negotiation. It's like a scientific theory. No scientific theory is ever proven. That's why they're theories.
Sure. But
right?
What agreements?
Like any agreement that we would have with the world in order try to restructure things so that we might have, you know, a world agreement mm-hmm. versus a collective country fighting against each other mm-hmm. agreement, that would be a negotiable contract. It's not something that, you know, you'd never change. Like, I don't know where you're... You know, we'd renegotiate that every year.
I'm not saying that we can't get there. And I don't even know if my vision of where we need to go is the same as your vision of where it needs to go versus what Alex says.
Well, none
says
of our visions is the same. And that's exactly
right?
the point, right?
We got to find a spot to get to.
You know, it's a question of how much is enough, right? Like we live in this society where now it's more,
mm-hmm.
but how much is enough? And what do you need in order to actually, you know, keep yourself happy, but not only yourself happy, but, you know, all the people around you, right? Like, if you knew how many of your neighbors were living under some sort of crippling debt, right? Like, there was a bit from Canada. We're going to do another little edit here while I search.
I think the middle class is drowning the most in debt because, and I think it goes back to that whole thing you talked about where you have to have more and more and more in this stature that people feel that they have to accomplish. I mean, my kids go to this school where the parents can't afford to pay for their kids' school supplies, their lunches, mm-hmm. you know, and my wife was a volunteer at the school, so she had the inside scoop of, you know, okay, the school has to pay for these people because they can't afford that. But they're driving like $80,000 cars. Mm-hmm. They're dressed mm-hmm. but they're all living on debt.
Yep.
They're just creating that debt. And I think there's such a thing as good debt and bad debt. Good debt is like if you wanted to buy a car, and you can say, okay, I can afford a $200 a month and I'm going to put $15,000 worth of debt. And in 5 years, that car will be paid off and that car will be mine. You're managing your cash flow.
As opposed to just saving up some money for the next few years and then buying that car when you can afford it.
It's a difference. I mean, it depends. Okay, well, let's take example, like a business. If let's say we were going to go up and we can get started on a business, right? And we go and we take out a loan for $50,000. And in 3 years... In 3 years, we've made $300,000, okay? Or we could have taken 20 years at our current...
We're the first generation where that's the first thought we have. Like a couple generations ago, their first thought would have been, no, save that money. Who the fuck... Why would you borrow that money from some...
A couple generations ago, it was the...
My grandpa would have never fucking taken a loan from that. Like, fuck that noise.
But, okay. And I hear you there. My grandma would too, right? But that's because
That was the generation they grew up in where it wasn't a matter of putting yourself into debt to buy things. They saved. They would scrimp and save.
Because the Great Depression. The Great Depression was caused by exactly what we're talking about now.
Yeah.
Where people then were buying stuff that they couldn't afford.
Exactly.
And the bank said, hey, we need all that money now. And everyone was like, oh shit, we ain't got that money. And everything fell.
But
it wasn't because they had some, you know, good...
I'm just talking about that generation. That generation that's great. That they would never have thought of, like, that's where my grandpa was.
Yeah,
he would
mine
have
too.
Never, my, he would have never put himself into debt for that
yeah,
kind of
because
stuff.
They were afraid of the banking situation.
And I don't understand why we're viewing this time as any different. Why are you not seeing the signs around us of a greater recession coming? And why are we not taking steps to prevent this? Why are we still pushing these loans? Why are we still making money out of thin air? Why are we still perpetuating this problem? Well, that's exactly where I'm trying to get to here.
Well, we had the issue with 2007, which was...
Where we bailed out the banks. And again, I've got a thing here where I'm going to post up where there was 127 different studies that all proved that it was a bad idea to bail them out.
And would have
led to exactly where we are 10 years later with this now being an actual ongoing crisis. Debt as a percentage of GDP increased in 34 of 43 countries between 2006 and 2016.
Debt versus GDP, okay.
So the amount of debt they hold versus mm-hmm. the amount of money they actually have coming in, mm-hmm. in 34 of 43 different countries. So almost all of them. So the amount of debt worldwide just keeps going up.
What group did they take, though? Do you know?
This was the Pew study of 43 different countries.
Okay.
Right.
I wonder which countries they picked.
What do you mean?
Because there's more than 43 countries in the world. 100 and something.
Well, it was based on the group of 20 and the various
Okay. So okay. All right. Well, yeah, I mean that's alarming for sure.
But it points to the problem that we're facing here, where it's a matter of we now live in a society where it's easier to get credit mm-hmm. than it is to save money for anything. Right. Because by the time you try to save money up, well, now you've got all this other stuff that you, right. Mm-hmm. Let alone the fact that, 4 years from now or whenever you've saved it up, inflation's eaten away that money. And so now you're right. Let alone the fact that when the bank first creates that money, right. If they create it for a government, that government uses it to subsidize contractors that get the best contracts. They take out all the good stuff first before there's any major taxing or anything going on to it. So all we get from that is money that's technically passed through something, and so it's already of less value than when it was first created. So anything that gets down to us has probably passed through a few different hands, and so the value of it is already devalued,
mm-hmm.
right? So technically the money you receive is already less than what it was worth when it was first created because of interest. And now in that, because now every time it's passed hands, somebody's put a tax onto it or put a right. And so that money is coming from something to get, right.
Okay.
And that's, you know, and I know it's mind blowing and it's this.
Yeah. I'm
tough,
just trying to think of like, in what context is that? Cause if I have a dollar in my hands, worth a dollar.
But it's not. That's the thing. It's worth what that country tells you it's worth.
Yeah,
technically, right?
So they could
let
say
alone
it's worth
the, exactly. Let alone that that dollar, when it reaches you, if you get it right off the mint, yes, maybe it's worth a dollar, right? But then when you pass it to someone, now it's technically worth a dollar minus 7%. Because there was that tax that they had to pay or whatever, right? Like, you know, there's the, or if they had to pay it to someone else, say as an interest payment, it could be as high as 20% extra money that they're having to pay for that dollar to pay for the dollar that they originally took. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that does. It's just,
and so, and like I said, and so like I said, it's this pervasive problem that we don't really think about where now it's this trickling effect of money coming out now. And now they're starting to push fees on us because now the banks have run out of money that they can pull out of us from loans. Mm-hmm. And so now they've started to add fees and all these exorbitant extra things to us to try to get more profit out of it and try to make it so that they can pay off their debt profit or debt.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's a huge issue with debt and finances in the world. And that has to do with big banks not being able to fail. The whole bailout, you know, that if you're living in a free market society, then the free market rules. If your business crashes, your business crashes because you ran it poorly. So I'm totally fine with that. But then you have all these, now we have like the banks own the government, you know, and the government is doing things to
benefit the
banks. Because
they've told them that they're too big to fail. And apparently we've bought into that.
Yeah. And you know what? Same with the car industry.
But like, the problem is that they engineered the problem to begin with. They engineered it to be too big to fail. That was the whole point behind this whole bullshit to begin with. That's why it was set up where it's set up with interest and inflation and debt. And now it's got, right? And now it's this rolling wave. And now we're just caught up in the tidal wave now. Now it's becoming a tsunami and we're going to get fucked over by all of this. You know?
I know they have a huge issue. I know definitely they have a huge issue in the U.S. with their increasing debt ceiling.
But it's again becoming, because now, you know, they've run out of funds in the U.S., so now they're branching out and trying other, that was my ding. And so now it's other countries that are now having the same problem of the banks are now trying to branch out and find new sources of profit.
The problem is that we can't really fix this easily. Like, we can take steps to try to remedy the problem and stave off the bleeding, but I mean, I can't think of a way to really fix this problem without really burning everything to the ground, like like tearing down the entire system and rebuilding it, right? Like,
and this
building
is where,
a
like,
new
society. I get that this a lot of this podcast has been doom and despair and debt. But here are actually I found a positive thing on this. There's actually 25 things you can do to help to create a resource based economy. Okay. And there's just a list of different things like creating abundance in your home, right? Which, you know, basically just going to your community and starting to become part of your community and sharing within your community, right? And that way, you know, your food doesn't go to waste, let alone the fact that you don't have to spend money on, oh, I don't know, say a video camera that watches your front door, because you might have a community of people that you could trust to say when somebody might walk up to your front door and you wouldn't have to actually fucking have to set up some goddamn video camera.
But then someone
to watch the people that live in your fucking neighborhood.
But then people would have to continuously watch my front door. And I just feel like
that's
a burden.
You wouldn't have to continually watch because you would have a community of people that you know would have some sort of interest in keeping that community safe.
Well, it's not keeping them safe. It's making sure I get my package.
Well, in which case...
And then my kids get home.
And in which case, if you have a couple of people looking out for it... Jesus. Anyway, number two is consume less. Right. That's one of the main problems that we have today is we live in this consumer based society where, you know, I mean, you buy something and how many layers of plastic does it come in? Right.
Yeah,
and it's just a matter of it's again, it's just being mindful of things, I think, is more of what we have a problem of lately, where most people just don't understand the actual impact of the decisions they make on a day to day basis. And so it's led us down this path of thinking that everything's fine. Right. Like if you're a little bit sick, your body will adjust to it pretty easily, right? If you have a little pain in your shoulder, your body will adjust to it and you're able to go on, you know, with your day, no problem. And it's kind of the same problem with this. It's this little pain, this little thing that just sits in the back of your head, right? Mm-hmm. But the problem is that it becomes more of an issue the more we don't deal with it, right? And the more we don't stand up and start trying to do something, you know, about this problem that we're you know, perpetuating by not doing anything, right? Mm-hmm. Number three was get off the grid. Buy a couple of solar panels.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? Like it's these are actual pretty common sense things that all of us could do on kind of a day-to-day basis. Number four, educate yourself. Hey guys, listen to a podcast every once in a while.
They're not too shabby.
Not too shabby, right? Like there's all sorts of different things like that you can do about just increasing your awareness of you know, again, it's not a matter of you know, this doom and despair about this thing that we've created, but a matter of trying to find a solution that we can hopefully come to an agreement on, right?
Yeah.
Or that we can at least come to some sort of general consensus on. Because again, like, I don't understand why everybody feels it's hopeless that we can talk to each other. I don't get that, right? It doesn't make any sense to me that as a world, we don't see the problems we're facing as the world and that we can't come together as the goddamn world to just say, hey, fuck this, guys. Like, okay, what can we do to try to fix this?
No, what do we need? We need like an alien invasion.
And that's the problem. That's exactly the kind of defeatist bullshit that we need to, because we don't need aliens. No. What do we need aliens for to come and tell us how to fix this? But why do we need aliens?
Hang on a second. Let me finish my thought.
Why can't we unite ourselves?
We see that there's aliens out there, right? And then that's going to unite because we're like, you know what? We're all the same.
That's such fucking bullshit.
How is that bullshit?
Why do we need aliens to unite us? Why can't we unite? Because it's the common good.
Because
it's the right thing to do. Because
self-preservation.
Because there's no there's no problem with all of us living in harmony. What would be the downfall?
I have no problem with that. But I'm telling you, in order to get 7 million people on the same page in a blink of an eye.
Humans are, we're incapable. We're too greedy.
That's not true.
We're too smart for
that's
our
not
own
true.
Good.
That's the defeatist bullshit that they've been feeding you to separate us all. is to create that sense of there's no way that we can ever get ourselves. How can we ever do?
I guess there's no way.
I guess that pain in my shoulder. I guess I'm just going to live with that forever and ever and ever.
But you just got to look at
nothing we can do.
Well, what about climate deniers? How are you going to fix our economy when we can't even acknowledge real issues happening on our planet?
Some of us can't acknowledge real issues on our planet. The rest of us who try to educate ourselves
but those
in the actual... And it's a matter of recognizing when people are saying things that are absolutely untrue and when we have, you know, sufficient evidence to point to the fact that what we are saying is actually based in quote-unquote fact, right?
I agree.
And once we have that established, it's a matter of educating those people
When those people are in a position of power, that's a problem.
Yep,
I love your optimism, Aaron, so much. And maybe I am defeatist, but I know that there's people out there...
And see, the problem is that I've heard this thing for how many... My whole life, it's been this, you know, well, why are you talking about that problem? Nobody's ever going to fix it.
Well, I don't think that not talking about it.
Why would you bring up the fact that,
That's apathy. You know, and I don't ever agree with apathy.
But that's exactly
what I'm saying.
But it's apathy that leads us to... What do you mean?
Because I want to take action. I want to do something. And I'm saying
nothing that can be done.
I'm not saying there's nothing that can be done. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying what I was trying to make is the quickest way for that to happen is if everyone realized that we weren't alone, that we're
right,
all
aliens,
together.
That we need aliens.
That there's another life out there. That's all we would need is there's another life out there.
We're already 99.9% sure that aliens are already out there. And notice that we're still not anymore. All the scientists
yes,
have been
studying
for exoplanet.
The people that are kneeling and praying to Christ aren't.
But there again, you're saying that aliens will unite us as opposed to aliens will make those religious nutcases deny. You're assuming that this, you're like, again, you're assuming that this is the magical way of fixing things is with aliens.
I'm going,
no, because now you have a military complex that has a vested interest in blowing shit up. Hey, a very, very $200 trillion vested interest in blowing shit up. And now they have a united cause to blow shit up against. And you think that's going to unite us?
I think it would.
I doubt.
I think it would.
I highly.
Let's do it. Let's do a whole
The point I'm trying to make is that we can unite ourselves without having to face some sort of outside bullshit. to come and unite us. That's the whole problem that we have. You know, it's like, you know, everybody, like, it is kind of an apathy that we face where everybody feels that we just can't do anything. And so we just go, fuck it.
I don't think that I am saying fuck it at all.
Again, I'm not talking about you specifically, Rich, because you are awesome and you have a great heart and you're an amazing person who I envy on so many levels. I'm talking about the general populace, like you're talking the religious people who have these biases, and that's who I'm speaking to specifically, not you, because you're awesome, all of our listeners out there who are awesome as well, but specifically those people.
But here's my, this is nothing to do with death.
No, this is actually exactly on topic. I'm actually continuing on with my list here as soon as you're finished with whatever
Okay, so one quick thing. There's some religious people in a room talking as heatedly about us as we are about them.
I hope that's
the problem.
Why?
Because those people are so rooted in their beliefs, just as we're rooted in our beliefs.
That's the problem, though, is that now we need to get into a point of trying to recognize how we can actually create something that we're all going to be kind of okay with, right? And recognizing that not everyone has, you know, the logical constraints that we're, you know,
I'll pray to
whoever you want me to pray to, realistically, right? Like, I feel it's going to make any difference? Fuck no. But if it makes you happy, sure, whatever.
If it brings world peace, I would.
What the fuck? Like, who gives a shit? Like, why not create a world god? Everybody goes, oh, okay, cool. But see, that's the problem. That's the problem. Like, what we need is just something where, you know, we don't need God. We don't need what we need is just humanity. Like, why can't we just do it for us? Right? And by extension for, the rest of the goddamn world. Like, again, I try to point to what would be the problem with it. What would be the problem with world harmony?
Nothing. There would be no problem with it.
Why are we still doing this shit to ourselves? Why are we still arguing about whether it's possible or not? Why are we not just going, hey, let's fucking do that then?
I hear what you're saying. I'm like, how do we get there? And it's like, wow, so many things have to happen. Like, so many things have to happen.
Well, like number five.
Even to start moving that direction. What's number five?
Learn as many specialized skills as you can. Essentially, learn something.
Learn me something, huh?
Right?
I recently learned how to install a doorbell.
In the words of Jacques Fresco, technicians are what make your life better.
Technicians?
Technicians.
Mm. Yeah,
people that run the day-to-day electrical and, you know, just general stuff that we use on a day-to-day basis, right?
Yeah, for sure. It's a dying trade, too. Mm-hmm.
You know, skilled technicians, they talk about not having enough carpenters or plumbers or electricians coming in, right? You know, it's one of those things that everybody, you know, if we basically, what was it? There was one where if we took all of our debt and used that to pay the student loans for every student in Canada, we could pay it for 170 years.
Mm. That's powerful. We should do that.
Well, you know, it's a thought experiment, right? Like, I don't know if just going, we're not going to pay that. That sounds like a Trumpian thing to do, but anyway, number six is question everything, including yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say especially yourself, right?
I question myself all the time.
Not necessarily to the point of being, you know, obsessive about it, I guess.
Am I gay? I think so.
I could answer that for you right now.
Maybe I'm gay. I check out guys a lot, just so you know.
Well, you know, you got to run that test every once in a while, just to because your opinion changes, right? We live in that kind of world where, you know, gender fluids.
Fluid, man. Whatever, man.
Yeah, so, you know.
Man, woman, I don't care. Just do it.
Hey, you're cute. No, well, still, that leads us to number seven. Be open-minded.
I'm very open-minded. Already.
Yeah, and again, like it really just kind of it's more just a matter of just being aware of what's going on and just trying to kind of, like you said, it's just little things like adapting and being flexible, like being able to take in new information, you know, kind of what we have here, where it's more just a matter of learning something and trying to open up the conversation and understanding that no, I don't think I'm right, that this is the only way to do things, or that, you know, living in this debt-based society is necessarily technically the worst thing that we could be doing to ourselves, right? Mm-hmm. But I really feel that the conversation is being overshadowed by, say, lobbyists and people with the money versus allowing us to actually have the conversation.
It's power, man. You know? Power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Well, and that's, you know, we get to the digital distractions where it was tough to stop ourselves, and addictions even, right? Mm-hmm. Where it's tough to stop ourselves from those kind of things once we get that initial rush mm-hmm. of, you know, even people looking at us differently, yeah. right? Like you buy a new suit and everybody goes, oh, look at that guy, right? Well, and then you buy a new car and everybody goes, hey, wow, geez, a new suit and a new car. Wow, boy. Right. Well, and then you got the big house and holy shit, boy. Yeah. Now you got this, you know, every day you walk into it and you got this, you know.
You know, you're right, because that's the human nature. I mean, just hearing you think about that, multiplayer online games. So many people get addicted to those mm-hmm. is because they can achieve wealth, fame and success mm-hmm. very quickly with mm-hmm. having none in real life. And that's why most people get addicted to those. Because they can have those three things, which is something that we all want in life. And that's what Dale Carnegie talks about in his book, How to Win Friends and Influence People.
Anyway, number 12 was turn off the television. That's a good one.
Yeah, I don't watch a lot of TV nowadays, to be honest with you.
I put it on the background. I have my dual screen, and so I try to do something. But, I should really learn to just cut out that kind of distraction. After having discussed how bad it was for me to do it.
But I put on Family Guy. Family Guy's great because there's one-liners in there. Right? Mm. You don't have to watch the whole thing. You just catch
one-liner. Well, that's why I like to put on stuff that I've already kind of seen before, where that I can at least tune out, where I don't have to put any kind of actual
focus. Same with The Office. The Office, right?
Like, I'm watching. You're trying to watch Game of Thrones. Well, you got to actually pay attention because you're going to miss.
Mm-hmm.
Damn it, those people are all dead now? Got to rewind it. Yeah, so like I said, this is something that we're going to kind of get back to on a later date, the whole idea of you know, debt and what we can do about it and alternatives to it and how we can kind of go about starting to maybe steer our society in a different path and maybe try to find something that might be more beneficial to us on the long-term basis and hopefully make our lives a little better for all of us versus just this mm-hmm. little pocket of us and our little friends.
Our 10 friends.
We're at least the 10 friends now on the...
Yeah, we're more than that. More than that.
In the podcast world, we're moving on up, I tell you.
120-something subscribers so far.
And that's all thanks to you, ladies and gentlemen. So thank you very much for tuning in. We really appreciate all of you listening to us babble on about all this miscellaneous stuff every week. Thank you to Alex and Rich, my partner
and thank you,
co-host
Aaron.
Here for being a part of this...
This crazy ride.
This crazy that we've thing been on we've now. Started. I know. And see,
how
once
long
we
has
get,
it been?
We're at 22, is it now?
Yeah, but you and I did this. We've been doing this for a while.
This is kind of the second iteration.
Yeah, we started here with Alex in March, but we did this last year.
We had done a few test episodes.
Yeah, and we were in your room trying to think of name ideas. And we were going back and forth and coming up with ideas.
I've never listened to those test episodes, but I'm scared
to. There's a reason for that, actually. It's actually, the competition versus cooperation one, which is one that I really want to go back and revisit because I feel like
re-record.
That was one of our, if we're going to start yelling at each other, that'll be the one. One where I got a little overheated on that one.
I like it even more when you guys disagree or have differing views.
And see, that's one of the things also that I want to highlight in all of this is that I don't agree with everything Rich says and he doesn't agree with everything I say, and that's okay.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Okay,
I find that differing of opinion allows us to open up a little bit and try to, you know, find the other side of the conversation that you're not always privy to. And that's kind of where I think these, you know, they talk about these bubbles that we live in now with our information. And I think that's kind of the problem that we have. Most people don't recognize that, you know, the money that's created has this inherent debt built into it. And that's just one of those things that, you know, without having that conversation, you're never going to move past it. You're never going to, you know, start to look at what the actual problem is and what we might actually be able to do with it past that, right?
Yep.
So, you know, and we're going to make mistakes about it and hopefully we'll be able to look at it, you know, down the road and try to fix it, right? And again, it's all kind of about finding that theory and hopefully developing it as we go.
Yeah, no doubt.
But obviously the current theory that we're running under is leading us down a path of probable destruction.
Well, there's some people that are making lots of money and they don't really care because they'll be dead by the time it all collapses.
Well, you know, and that's kind of the problem with money is that, again, once you have a value for something, well, people are kind of a something.
Yeah, and they do for sure.
Yes. So anyway, on that note, this was kind of one of those downer episodes, but
a little bit. That's all right. It was good.
See, again, we're going to hopefully find the positive takeaway from moving forward on this as to, you know, where we go from there. There's going to be all sorts of links on the website, one of them for the Venus Project, another one for, again, just kind of things you can do to help look at alternatives to our debt-based society and what we might be able to do moving forward. Thanks again, everybody, for listening. This has been Learn Me Something. As always, you can find us on Facebook. We're on Twitter at LMS Podcast. Patreon, we're still waiting for donations, everyone. Donations can start pouring in any day now.
What I would love, if you're listening right now, please go to patreon.com/hologramradio and donate $1. It really does make a difference in what we do here. Allows us to keep the lights on, basically.
Well, and that's where, as I wanted to mention, like, as we are kind of part of the Hologram Radio Network, which is, you know, kind of a profit-sharing deal, we are looking at, you know, hoping to branch out and you know, we wanted to touch on one of the other podcasts that are within the network here. So we'd like to, what was our last one that we covered? So check out one of our sister podcasts, like the Impromptu on the Hologram Radio Network.
It is a we like to call it a multifaceted show that focuses on technology, art, design, and how basically the decisions that we make change our perceptions and lives.
Mm-hmm. Interesting stuff.
I've listened to a couple episodes. Good.
Like us on Facebook. We love that. Tune in next week.
We'll be here.
We'll be here at Alex's place. Here for Learn Me Something.
Doing our thing.
As always.
Aaron and Rich will be sitting on the couch for that entire 7-day period, staring at the wall, waiting for the next one.
We just sit in limbo until, yeah.
Did you have enough beer?
I believe we're stocked up.
Yeah. Aaron brought plenty of beer tonight.
Well, and I'm going to have my two and then pack the rest up for the week. So.
And a catheter.
Party! All right, everyone. Thank you for listening. As always, Florient Dendrite, may your brain cells flourish.
You've been listening to Learn Me Something with Aaron Stewart and Rich Plum on Hologram Radio. If you like the podcast, please rate and subscribe in iTunes and share it with a friend. To find other interesting podcasts like this one, please visit our website at hologramradio.org.